Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. One of television's top presenters of Unscripted Fare, Deadliest Catch and I Throw Truckers, named two notable series, is now tracking the world of hemp farming. Kings of Kush could be seen Tuesdays on Vice TV, and you'll hear executive producer Tom Beers when he joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, Game of Thrones offshoots galore, The Simpsons reach episode 700 on Fox Sunday night, our new classic trivia winner, and two takeaways of the week, NFL Next Network Next Level Television, and Grammy Awards, Clean Up Your Act. That's in order. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum. Simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, it's March Madness, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 40 degrees at the top of the hour this Friday afternoon. Yes, March Madness is back. First games of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship underway. And by the way, there still is no winner of the first game. If you're watching it on CBS, Virginia Tech and Florida in overtime as we reach the top of the hour. And with about a few minutes to go, I believe it is still all tied up. Great to have you with us for the program all about TV's current and future. Got a wonderful guest for you over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and call in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And we've got that chat room in business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and just waiting for you with your questions and comments. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Speaker and screen. Follow the instructions. Other things will be live with you. Tom Beer is live with us from Los Angeles after these news notes. A trio of new Game of Thrones prequel proposals under review at HBO. Nine Voyages from Rome creator Bruno Heller follows a royal character known as the Sea Snake. Warrior Queen Princess Nymeria and her adventures form the basis of Nine Voyages. The third series idea is Flea Bottom, depicting life in a slum section of capital city King's Landing. As those proposals gel, HBO begins filming House of the Dragon in the United Kingdom, co-starring Olivia Cooke and Emma D'Arcy, arriving in 2022. Additional concepts, including an animated Game of Thrones offshoot, are in development with series creator George R.R. Martin. Another milestone for The Simpsons Sunday night on Fox, episode 700. Danger Things, that's the title, deals in flashback with a room in the family's house unseen until now. Also on display, a new opening couch gag from animator Bill Clinton. At least two more seasons, 50-plus episodes, are still to come through summer 2023 on Fox. Now some quickies. Peacock will extend the Amber Ruffin show's run another half year into September. True Crime Network Oxygen offers a week of serial killer programs in prime time next month. The Wendy Williams Show begins another late-night run via TV1 next Monday at midnight Eastern Time. Williams' syndicated daytime hour had an earlier late-night window on BET. And Emmy Award winner Glenn Weiss will be back in the Academy Awards Director's Chair April 25th on ABC. This will be Weiss's sixth Oscar assignment. He's won two Emmys just for that role. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live from Los Angeles, an interview exclusive, the award-winning executive producer of such unscripted classics as Deadliest Catch, now in its 17th season on Discovery and Discovery Plus, and Ice Road Truckers, also on Vice TV, Tom Beers. Tom, it's great to have you back. It's been a long, long while.
Yeah. Thanks, Simon. Good to be back.
So anyway, tell us about this new project you have for Vice TV, Kings of Kush. How'd you get going with it?
Well, you know, it's funny. A good friend of mine, Anthony Sullivan, who's I don't remember I did a series years ago called Pitchmen, and it was with Anthony Sullivan and Billy Mays. Remember, Billy was a pitchman with a big beard, and he could scream anytime he screamed, be clean, and it was incredible. So it was a great series I did with the two of them. And Sully's been in the info business, commercial business, for a long time, and he decided he wanted to do something different. And his it kind of dovetailed with his daughter was born with special needs, and she was having seizures and all sorts of problems. And they realized that CBD, him and his wife, who is a PhD in early childhood development, you know, they realized that that CBDs really, really helped their child. And so he got so involved in that, he decided to just to buy a farm and start, you know, growing hemp, growing CBDs up in Vermont. So him and his buddy Dave Christian, who did Eco Challenge together, years before, they basically started a farm in Vermont, and started to film. And they brought the project to me. I went up and visited with them, and I thought, you know, this is a really, it's a fun show. A couple of fish out of waters. Guys have never farmed anything, never even grown a petunia before, and they're up there with on a 160-acre farm trying to, you know, sprout hemp. So I, you know, it was really good and interesting and provocative and compelling, and the characters in Vermont are really interesting and unique. So I thought, you know, let's give this a run.
And there's yet another twist to this that involves television, because I believe there's a winner of Survivor that also became an investor in this farm.
Yeah, Ethan came on board too. Ethan has been Zane. He's been working very hard with the show. He was up there basically, you know, harvesting, and you know, got into really getting your hands dirty. And you know, look, I did a series on the American Farmer a couple of years ago, and I realized how incredibly difficult it is for agriculture, any type of you know, agriculture. And you know, and this is a family run farm, and you know, these guys are, as I said, they're just making it up as they go along. And the good part is that you see the locals are trying to help them, but at the same time scratching their head at the city slickers who are trying to become farmers. You know, and ultimately, you know, they got a lot of good advice and, you know, a little bad advice, and, you know, in their instincts, and they ultimately, you know, they prevail. They do really well. But it's like watching the trials and tribulations and the struggles involved is really a unique and interesting, you know, thing to do.
Yeah. How did the townspeople change their thinking about Sullivan? Because it sounds like they didn't know him from OxyClean and some of the other products he was pitching on television over the years, and his associates, and then sort of turn from being, oh, those city slickers, they don't know a thing about farming, they don't know a thing about our culture or our lifestyle, to turn that into more of a positive relationship where everybody's getting along.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny. They look, first of all, you know, up in Vermont, I mean, the economy is tough up there, and so they certainly embraced any new opportunity. So, you know, and Sully and his team, they hired probably 50 people, locals on staff. So, you know, it made a big impact in the local community. But, yeah, you know, seeing the OxyClean guy out there, you know, getting his hands dirty and, you know, getting up to his knees in mud and driving tractors certainly was a unique experience. And, yeah, they all kind of, you know, it was a novelty at first, and they thought these guys would probably, you know, go under and go home. But, you know, they persevered, they prevailed, and, you know, they, you know, and ultimately the town embraced them big time. They were actually in the parade, their 4th of July parade, you know, riding in a float.
Did you do this, by the way, amid what was going on with the coronavirus pandemic? Did you have to do anything unique in terms of filming or taping with your crew to make sure you were able to get this series together?
Yeah, you know, they were so isolated up there, but, you know, ultimately, yeah, we kind of shut the farm down, and I mean, to outsiders, and really tried to, you know, do our best. We never had a case of COVID anywhere, but you know, we did drive Sully and David's partner. They took the extract. You know, they bought this crazy press that like squeezes and presses the CBDs into a resin, and it's got, you know, a million pounds of pressure. So it's incredible. And so they squeezed all this resin out into these, you know, 5-gallon pails, and they sold it to a manufacturer in Arizona. So they had to drive all the way across country with these, you know, I think 40 or 50 buckets of 5-pound buckets of resin in the back of two Airstreams. You know, it certainly was, and it's a great couple of episodes in the last two episodes of the show, and it's a great adventure. But, gosh, it's such a weird thing. You know, I'm about you, but when you got out right in the middle of that pandemic and got outside, and the roads were empty. There was nobody there. It was like a ghost town. It kind of felt like Mad Max, you know. These guys just kind of traveling across the country with, in essence, you know, resin, you know, and then, you know, the whole thing is that, you know, to get stopped or pulled over, they're terrified that, you know, that basically these guys would try and confiscate it and think it was, you know, THC or something, and it's not. It's, I mean, it's a legal compound, but, you know, you can't tell the difference by smelling it. So it was an interesting, the whole thing was interesting. As a matter of fact, it was funny up there on the farm. They had a couple of three or four times worth of thefts. I mean, people coming right off the street, jumping over a fence and grabbing some plants, thinking that, you know, there were THC plants, you know, and they probably took them home, dried them, and, you know, went to have a big old Friday night party and just didn't get nothing. So I would love to have been around for that.
The new series from Tom Beers you are hearing live this half hour on Tsunami Televised is called Kings of Kosh, and you can find it on Vice TV, formerly Viceland, Tuesday nights at 10:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time with replays throughout the week. Tom joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Happy you're with us, wrapping up your week on this Friday afternoon. 40 beautiful degrees here in the New York metro area at the top of the hour. As I said, it's March Madness time. First game's running now on CBS, True TV, CBS and TNT tonight and tomorrow, first round games. And by the way, for all you NCAA women's basketball tournament fans, those games start on Sunday at noon on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, and now for the first time, some games will be on ABC as well. Check the local listings for the games and times in your area. And for pressure comments for Tom in our time with him this afternoon, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Three episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised coming your way next Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Monday and Friday, we'll be on our regular time, 3 Eastern Pacific. Because of a special Univision event on Wednesday, we'll join you 2 hours earlier than normal. Check to remember the start time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Coming your way on Monday, we've got a fun hour for you. ABC's got a new magazine for you, a news magazine, a very unusual called Soul of a Nation. It's not for several weeks. We'll have the senior producer on the program, Catherine McKenzie. And then YouTube next month has maybe its most unique interactive TV project going. It's called Yak Network. It's a very unusual interactive game project. We will talk to the founder and chief executive of the service, Marcy Rubin. And earlier in the day, I'll be playing Yak Network with her. So it should be a lot of fun to check out after playing the game what this is all about. Soul of a Nation, Yak Network, that's coming your way Monday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, with a tough sell to get Vice TV to take the service, given that Vice is very well known for doing a lot of its content in-house.
We have a very good relationship with the team there, and you know, it kind of would fit in a niche that they thought was an interesting place to be. You know, they've done a lot of THC shows, a lot of pot shows, and, you know, kind of to look at the CBD side. I mean, they were open to it, which was great. You know, and it wasn't an easy sell anywhere, you know, but I like it. It's a great team over there, and they're good people. You know, I got to ask you something. You know, I was doing the numbers. You realize that 700 episodes of The Simpsons, do you know what the budget on that is? That Fox has paid over $3.5 billion for that one TV series over the years. That's amazing.
It really is amazing, and a credit to Al Jean and Matt Groen and everybody involved in making that series for coming up with 700 individual plots, all those couch gags, all those Bart Simpson writings on the blackboard. It really is an amazing operation, especially in the last year with the pandemic and how the animators have been able to work together. And don't forget, that's not all. We got at least 50 more episodes to go over the next two seasons.
Yeah, they're $5 million a half hour. That $5 million for 23 minutes. It's incredible.
Wow.
So, I mean, I just didn't think of the massive amount of money. I mean, I had Storage Wars is one of my series, and we just hit 300 episodes, and I thought that was a big deal. But, God, doing 700, I mean, yeah, that's amazing.
Over 30-something years. And don't forget, it started life as part of the Tracy Ullman Show for a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Those special vignettes. Yeah. So it's just
I wonder if Tracy gets a little check. Wouldn't that be cool if she got a little check once in a while for that?
Yeah, somebody should check that out. She's gotten royalties all this time. She's amazing. I'd love to see her come back, by the way, in another series. I'd be like, go home. I love that Tracy Ullman Show with the George Quinn theme. And of course, Julie Kavner and Dan Castellano, who were two of her cohorts in that repertory company, they're still doing The Simpsons. They're still doing Homer and Marge, and it's one of the great comedy pairings of all time, in my humble opinion.
Absolutely.
You know, Tom, speaking of long-running shows, you've got one of them back again on Discovery Channel and now Discovery Plus, Deadliest Catch. Why do you think that been one of your, you know, hallmarks as a producer, has run 17 seasons.
Yeah, I, to be honest, I'm kind of the same thing with, you know, The Simpsons. It's like when I did the first season back in – well, the first episode I did was back in 1997, so I mean, before the turn of the century. And we you know, then a couple of years later they came back, we ordered four, and then after the next year they basically ordered, you know, they said, give us as many as you can. But the funny thing is that after that, after the first season, they came back and said, hey, we want more. And I thought to myself, man, didn't we already do this? You know, it was like, it was at the very nascent beginning of cable actually doing series. They, you know, used to do, Discovery was famous for in the History Channel, doing one-offs. They did documentaries, and if they did anything long, that was like 3 or 4 hours. So to do a whole season, you know, was a big deal. And then to come back and say, hey, let's do some more of these. I'm like, oh, wow, this is cool. And we, you know, we always said, God, if we could just get to 10 seasons, that would be a big deal. And now they're in 17 seasons, and the show just keeps on running. I mean, it's just a staple. I mean, it's so, you know, we've lived, and, you know, with these guys and their families, you know, all these years. And, you know, we keep refreshing the show, bringing in new talents, and, you know, it just keeps on running. But I think it just strikes a chord. It's one of those, you know, the first series, and it just strikes a chord. It's, you know, exotic locations, it's high risk, high rewards, you know, and it just keeps paying off on it, and it really, you know, exotic locations. So, you know, people, you know, there's a psychological delegation where people kind of go, hey, I know I'll never get a chance to do this. And, you know, for me, I know at my normal job, I know that I work 44 hours a week, and I get paid, you know, 30 bucks, 20 bucks, whatever, an hour. I know exactly what my paycheck's going to be within, you know, 20 bucks every week. So this is, you know, this is an opportunity for them to kind of explore and say, look, if I took a chance and a shot and risked my life, you know, I have never, no idea. I mean, these guys are pulling down 50, 60,000 bucks working a couple of, you know, 3 weeks. Of course, they're risking their lives every single day. But I think that that's what, you know, what makes it really work and really tick.
Tom, over the course of your career, it seems that you've had this knack for finding these very unique environments, whether in the United States or elsewhere, and they just seem to be like worlds within, or nations within nations. Deadliest Catch, Ice Road Truckers, now Kings of Kosh. Do these environments find you, or do you find these environments? I mean, how do you develop this knack for sort of sensing what to put on?
Yeah. I always love tough jobs. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, more than anything, I've done series. I did Black Gold for Spike, which was an oil series, oil rig guys. I did Coal for Spike as well, which is a coal mining series. So I did Axemen, you know, for History Channel. So I did, and then I did Swords, Life on the Line for NBC. I've done, you know, crab fishing. I've done lobster fishing, Lobster Wars. I did tuna fishing. You know, I've kind of made a career in extractive reserves, you know, where basically they're, you know, people are, you know, making their living, you know, working, you know, and pulling out, you know, either timber or coal or, you know, all sorts of stuff. But, you know, that's been my, you know, my kind of focus for a long time. I when I was at Turner Broadcasting 25 years ago, I basically realized that there was a real niche for that type of programming. I was running National Geographic, and I'd see every time a tough job came on, you know, it would pop a number. It would do a pretty good rating. So it kind of stuck in the back of my head. So when I got out and started my own company, it's the first thing I went after.
Well, speaking with one of the top people who make unscripted reality television happen, Tom Beers, his list of credits, Axemen, Ice Road Truckers, Deadliest Catch, amazing. We could spend a few hours on his entire output over the years. And his latest work is Kings of Kosh. You can find it Tuesday nights at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Vice TV, formerly Vice Land, available on cable, satellite, and other places too. We have a few more minutes with Tom. And if you have a question or comment for him, don't be shy. Make the phone call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, our third of three episodes next week, we'll have a return visit from Jacob Navig of GemVid Technologies. Last fall, they launched what may be one of the most unique interactive projects so far on television, Rival Peak, on Facebook Watch and on Facebook's Porto TV and Smart TV products. The idea? It's like an amazing race, except all the characters are artificial intelligence video created, and you at home have the opportunity to guide those characters through their adventures and eliminating one every week. We'll find out how the show did from Jacob and where GenBid's kind of interactivity goes from here. Jacob Navik from GenBid Technology and Rival Peak next Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, when you started, there were relatively very few places you could do unscripted television. You had Discovery Channel, you had TLC, TBS, other National Geographic, other places. Now you have all these services like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. You got Discovery Plus, which is totally nonfiction. You have other mega content services like Apple TV, Peacock, and so forth. What do you think about this whole landscape of places where you can sell your television to?
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you. I don't think it's really expanded as much as other fare. You know, I think obviously the scripted stuff is done really, really well. You know, reality, you know, you kind of break it into, you know, three or four different genres. You know, you've got kind of competition reality like Amazing Race, you know, Survivor, even American Idol, those kind of shows. Then you've got, you know, what I do kind of to obdoc, they call observation documentaries. And then you've got the, you know, the kind of lifestyle shows like the Kardashians. And so they kind of fit into those three niches. I think that the obdocs of all three has been, the universe hasn't expanded that much. I think that we're still, you know, mostly with the Discovery Channel, with History, with A&E, you know, there are others, but it's not, they don't do a whole lot. You know, it isn't a really big genre for the new services for Netflixes or the Amazons, but it's growing. And I think that they'll start to find, everybody tries to find their own niche, you know, but anyway. I mean, it's just, you know, look, I've been doing this for 30 years, and I really, it's been a great gift, and I've enjoyed the run, you know. So, I mean, I just, you know, keep making shows that I like, and I'm off expanding now. I'm doing featured documentaries and, you know, kind of just figuring out what else is out there to really just enjoy. I mean, I don't know about you, but when the pandemic hit, I bailed. I jumped on the last plane out, and I took the last flight into Bali and spent 4 months sitting on a beach in Bali. The world's an interesting place, man. I'm just like, you know, and I spent years traveling around it. So it's just fun to kind of, you know, go look for that next new adventure.
Yeah. What do you think about Discovery Plus and the fact that now that has become a place that some of your most popular work now is being shown, maybe to a new generation of viewers?
Yeah. No, I love that. And I'm really excited about that. And, you know, I had a lovely call from David Zaslav the other day. He's like, you know, we need something big here. We need to take a big swing. We need a big swing for Discovery Plus. You know, it's a great look. The world's changing. You know this, and I do. I mean, it's like, what you know, it's turning into, you know, the idea of appointment viewing is really no longer. I mean, Netflix was such a major disruptor in that we're never going back to it. I don't care what anybody says. So platforms are really, really important to every one of these franchises or these companies because, you know, that's going to be the future of television. I don't think, to be really honest, and I lived and died by, you know, I have by commercial television for years, but I just think to be really honest, I think it's a dying beast. It's a dying breed. I just think people are so used to not watching commercials, and they've been so spoiled by it that they're willing to pay for new platforms and pay. Some people will watch the commercials, but some people will basically play just for the content, you know. And I think that ultimately, you know, these kind of streaming, you know, Discovery Pluses, you know, I mean, all the channels will start having their own, and they're curating their own content, and I think that people will, you know, they'll choose, they'll start to pick, you know, this is, I want this channel, I want this channel, I want this one, and, you know, no longer bundles, I mean, but in you know, these big packages, I think they're going to get a lot more, you know, specific. It's a really interesting time to see the evolution of commercial television and consumption of entertainment. I mean, if you really look, I mean, you know, I get too deep on this, but if you look at kids these days, you know, I've got a 23-year-old and I watch the way he consumes, and his idea of a reality show is, you know, Snapchat. You know, it's really not, you know, it's Instagram, you know, so these guys have created their own tribes, and they're creating their own stories. And so they're actually creating their alternative forms of entertainment, you know, so I find that really fascinating that there, you know, that the consumption of media is probably more now than it ever was. I think they're averaging about, 8 hours of media consumption a day. But there's been a massive swing from commercial television, cable television, to all sorts of, online. I mean, just TikTok, and, it amazes me how much people are consuming alternative forms. You know, same thing with news. I mean, look where news is going. I mean, people get their news every 10 minutes or 5 minutes on their cell phone now. They don't have to tune in at 7 o'clock at night. Anyway, it's evolving. You know, it's really kind of interesting and fun, and I just love to watch the evolution of it.
So before you head out, what are some of the others? You have Kings of Cost, of course, continuing on Vice TV. What other TV projects do you have? You mentioned you're doing a feature film, but what are the TV projects you're doing?
Well, you know, I've got two or three. You know, I wish I could really talk about them right now, but it's really kind of locked into the network stuff. But, yeah, I'm doing two new series right now. We're in production on one right now, and we're in pre-production on another. So, I mean, it continues to go, and I'll be in the same vein, finding really interesting and unique lifestyles and worlds and people who are willing to kind of risk it all to take big swings at life. And I just think that, I encourage everybody to, give that a shot once in a while. But, if they don't, then just keep tuning into my shows, and I'll keep bringing it to them.
And right now what Tom Beers is bringing to Vice TV is Kings of Kosh. It's a very unique, I think it's one of the more unique upscripted reality programs. You can catch it Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Vice TV, formerly Viceland. That's available on cable and satellite. Check those where you can find it in your area. For more details about the promo online, go to www.vicetv.com. That's www.vicetv.com. And also, Ice Road Truckers, by the way, is also running on Vice TV at various times in primetime and daytime throughout the week. So check Vice TV's listings for that situation as well. And you can also catch Tom's other material as well on Discovery Plus, which is available all over the place on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details, discovery.com or discoveryplus.com. Tom, it's been a pleasure to have you back. It's been way too long. Congrats on how Kings of Kosh is doing. And we'd love to have you back when you got another project to go. It's always a pleasure.
Look forward to it, Sam. Thank you. Cheers. Happy Friday.
You're welcome, Tom. Cheers. Have a super weekend. Tom Beers, executive producer, extraordinary of great unscripted reality television, joining us live from Los Angeles. Once again, Kings of Kosh, Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Vice TV. More tomorrow on Vitello is coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you are a big New York mystery fan, very unusual suspense thrillers, mystery set in New York City, well, here's a new one from one of the top storytellers in the world, Harlan Coben. He's got a great deal, by the way, with Netflix to adapt his novels and short stories for television. The new book is called Win, W-I-N, and it's narrated for audio by Steven Weber of Wings fame. And you can get it right now if you are a subscriber for a one-month trial to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment information inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen on any device. Good, every year hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Verbal, etc. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. Audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, health and wellness information, that 1 month trial, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And here's the best news. If you are already an Amazon Prime member, make that two audio books you get for the trial of one. And that second book could be from one of the fast-growing catalogs of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, plus the best of Broadway or Broadway and regional theater, and wonderful one-woman and one-man performances. Makes a great gift, too, for you or someone you love. Check it out, audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, you can find out that way how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. And I promise you, you'll never hear the world the same way again once you try audible.com. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about the tube. We're with you usually Mondays and Wednesdays, 3 weeks in the Pacific. Next week, a three-episode week for the month, coming your way Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And don't forget, our Wednesday episode, unlike Monday and Friday, will be at a special early time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. When we come back, we have our new classic trivia segment winner to tell you about and the answer to that question, plus not one, but two takeaways of the week. A huge new NFL TV rights deal worth more than $100 billion. How it impacts you. And then the Grammy Awards. the worst feud in history. Hey, Grammys, clean up your act. I'll tell you why after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. You got to reach your 55 mailing lists around the world every month and growing. Promise you March Madness will be a big topic tomorrow morning on the Fast Lane Sports Show. Check it out tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific, the Fast Lane Sports Show, only here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best featured 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Friday afternoon, the 19th of March, 2021. Sun Avenue live from New Web, New York. Coming up shortly, not one, but two takeaways of the week. One about the brilliant NFL rights deal that was put together yesterday, and the other about the debacle that was the Grammy Awards last Sunday night on CBS. We'll tell you why and why it is time for the Grammy Awards to clean up their act. That's our takeaways of the week. But first, time for our classic trivia segment of the week. And we have our second winner in 2 weeks, our third in four. And I'm happy to tell you, already this year, our second winner from overseas. That winner is Maria Dolores Garcia Aido from Corona, Spain. Maria, congratulations. You've got the X-Files FAQ book for your winning answer, and that'll be coming your way starting next week in the mail, so watch out for it. Here's the question that she answered correctly. Raymond Burr was the first actor to play Perry Mason on a TV series on CBS, and then last year, Matthew Rice was the third person to play Perry Mason on the critically acclaimed revival on HBO, coming back for a second season later this year, 2022. The question, who was the second actor to play Perry Mason? And the answer is Monty Markham. He did so on CBS from 1973 to 1974, one season of what was called The New Perry Mason. Incidentally, two factoids. One, it was Markham's second starring season, first in a drama. His first starring role was in The Second Hundred Years with Arthur O'Connell, Screen Gems comedy on ABC in the late 1960s that also ran a year, despite some pretty good reviews. In this case, The New Perry Mason, a lot of the people from the old Perry Mason, including some of its producers, and director Arthur Marks and others were involved in the program. Despite that, and despite a good Sunday night time slot, similar to what Raymond Burr had for many years on CBS, the show did not fly and was canceled after 16, 17 episodes in December of 1973. And if you want to know more, by the way, about The New Perry Mason, go to Wikipedia. It gives you all details. So once again, the answer from Maria Dolores Garcia Aido of Corona, Spain is Monty Markham, the new Perry Mason, second person to play Perry Mason on a network television series. And so, Maria, thank you for the answer. Copy of the X-Files FAQ by John Kenneth Muir, forwarded by the X-Files creator Chris Carter, from Applause, Theater, and Cinema Books, is coming your way. So thanks for playing. And we'll have a new classic trivia question and prize coming your way on Monday. If you know the answer, like Maria did, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where your emailing address is. And if we don't get an answer by the end of Monday, we'll post the question tomorrow, that Tuesday morning, on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so. And all the very best. And all the very best to you, Maria Dolores Garcia Aida from Corona, Spain. Thank you for playing. By the way, one of the things it says is that we do reach an international audience here on this program. I've heard in the past couple of weeks that we are doing very well in Taiwan, in Dubai. We're climbing up the ladder of top entertainment or TV-oriented podcast there. So thanks again to all those international listeners. We really appreciate you, and I'm really delighted that we have our second international winner, and it's only mid-March of 2021. So thank you again, Maria, for playing, and stay well and stay tuned out there. But all the very best to all of our listeners in Spain and Europe and throughout the world. And incidentally, I also want to give a shout-out to one of our good friends, Shelley Palmer. Shelley is very kind on his weekly YouTube hour on Wednesday afternoons to give us a shout-out. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Shelley. Shelley, I hope we'll have him back very, very soon. He's one of the foremost observers of the TV and technology scene. And if you want to check him out, do so at shelleypalmer.com. Check him out also with his weekly YouTube hour. Wednesday afternoons from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And also, he's got PJX Tech, his wonderful chat room site. It's really terrific. A lot of great discussion out there. So check it out, PJX Tech at shelleypalmer.com. And now it's time for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week. We look at developments that take place during the week and what you should take away from them and how it will impact the future of television. And we do have the time to do more than one takeaway this week, and that's because we originally were scheduled to have on, in fact, we were supposed to have on the first half of the hour, John Farrakane, the showrunner of Fox's new version of America's Most Wanted, hosted by Elizabeth Vargas, that premiered this past Monday night. Unfortunately, John had to back out because of a change in production schedule. We are going to try to have him reset for one of our episodes next week. So, again, we apologize that John couldn't be with us today. We are rescheduling with the Fox folks to have him on sometime next week, either on our special Wednesday episode or next Friday. So we'll keep you posted on how that's going. So, instead, we have two takeaways of the week for you this week. Coming up in a few minutes, why the Grammy Awards have got to clean up their act after the debacle that took place on Sunday night on CBS. But first, if you have not been in a foxhole or off planet Earth, you know by now that the National Football League completed new 11-year contracts that will start in 2023 with all of its current broadcast partners and a brand new partner, its first ever digital. And you might think off the bat that the only winner of the NFL, that this deal, is the NFL, because they're going to make more than $100 billion off these TV rights. They actually got more money with this rights package than they did the last one, much, much more. And they will continue their contracts with Fox and CBS for Sunday afternoon regular season games, NBC for Sunday night football games, ESPN for Monday night football, and they'll rotate the Super Bowl and the playoff games among that group. Plus, for the first time in a long while, ABC will get a shot at the Super Bowl. But that's really half the story. The other half, and the biggest you take away, is that we're going to see a transition of the course of these 11 years where more and more of these games are, A, going to be carried on multiple platforms live, or B, carried exclusively on non-broadcast platforms, particularly mega content services like Peacock and ESPN Plus and Paramount Plus. For example, starting with the 2023 regular season, Peacock will get a select number of exclusive games. That's exclusive games that will run just on Peacock with limited commercial interruption. Also starting in 2023, ESPN Plus will get at least one exclusive game a week. In addition, there'll be more Monday night games, and some of those Monday night games, where there'll be two at the same time, will run. One will run on ABC, and one will run on ESPN. Also, we're going to see more regular season and more playoff games not only run in Spanish on a Fox Deportes, Univision, or Telemundo, but also you're going to see, I think, more experimentation with interactive game telecasts where you get stats, you get the opportunity to control the cameras, you'll do sports betting on various games, but you'll also see various approaches aimed at various audiences. Remember we had the CBS Sports playoff game on Nickelodeon, which went very, very well, had like a few million viewers tuning into that. Remember every time the team scored a touchdown, you'd have augmented reality GAC and Goose being up all over the place in the end zone. And remember the playoff game that ESPN simulcast with Freeform, where Freeform did its own thing aimed at its millennial audience, its becomers audience. Well, under this new deal, you're going to see more of that. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's more experimentation starting this year and next year in advance of this new 11-year contract happening. And, of course, the other big news is that for the first time, there's going to be a non-broadcast player that will have a major package of games. I'm talking about Amazon Studios with Thursday Night Football. The whole Amazon, a whole Thursday Night Football package, with the exception of the kickoff game, which will stay on NBC, and the Thanksgiving game that will also be on NBC, will go exclusively to Amazon. That's right, Amazon. And you can also, and what they're going to do with it, by the way, is in addition to the regular feed, they will, I think, have an interactive feed as well with game stats on the screen, plus the opportunity, again, maybe for sports betting, order merchandise, all sorts of fun interactive things that you can do from the comfort of home on your TV set. And let's not forget also that you're going to see, I believe, other usage of games. Like I said, to perhaps control the cameras have the cameras on the game operating all the time, and you get to control by remote control your voice which cameras or which replay you want to see. So look for a lot of testing along that line. I think you'll see it with Peacock. And also, you'll also see games on Tubi. The Fox games will run on Tubi, and you'll also see more associated NFL material. Pre-game shows, specialty shows, game of the week highlights, things like that. And it may not be over, but it may be a second opportunity for perhaps an ESPN Plus or a main content service to pick up NFL Sunday tickets. The word is that this will be the last year or two that DirecTV will have the package exclusively. So somebody else, I think, is going to be spending quite a bit to get that package away from DirecTV. I believe somebody will. And maybe it could be Amazon. Maybe it could be Google. Maybe it could be through YouTube. Maybe somebody else. Stay tuned. Bottom line, while broadcast TV will continue to be a main player of National Football League games, regular season playoffs, they won't be the only player on this new 11-year deal. And we may see down the stretch that more and more games will move off broadcast and go multi-platform and or exclusively off broadcast. Something to see and something to keep an eye out for. So that's takeaway of the week number one. Now to number two. And number two involves the fallout of what was really a debacle of a Grammy Awards telecast Sunday night on CBS. As you know, the last year or two, we have seen a dramatic drop in the viewership of award shows. The Academy Awards, the Emmy Awards, up and down, American Music Awards, Golden Globe, up and down the line. However, you could not have predicted how far down the tube the Grammy Awards turned out to be on Sunday night on CBS. We told you in our news note on Monday that the Grammys had only close to 8 million viewers, according to preliminary Nielsen results, on CBS and Paramount Plus together. And that was more than half the audience lost from last year. The final Nielsen numbers are now in, and they've been digested. Turned out to be 8.8 million viewers. Again, this is a mix of CBS and Paramount Plus. And it is the lowest rated Grammy Award program ever. And we're talking all the way back to the initial Grammy Live Awards in the early 1970s. When it went from being a one-hour recap special, the best on record on NBC for many years, to a live telecast. And yes, more than half the viewership from last year was gone. We're talking double digits, like 17, 18 million viewers in 2020, in spite of the early days of the pandemic. How could this be? How could the Grammy Awards take that big a drop, losing more than half its audience? Well, here's an answer. The show. For years, the Grammy Awards, under one of the greatest music producing impresarios around, Ken Ehrlich, who learned his craft with PBS and a brilliant show called Soundstage at WGW Chicago, under his tutelage, the Grammy Awards became less on the award presenting and more on performance, showcasing a wide variety of music genres with class, with taste, with style. Those wonderful combinations of various musical artists, magical moments. Every year you can count on magical moments. And you were entertained to the gill. You didn't mind that the show ran overtime, let's say from 8 o'clock to 11, 11:15, 11:30, because you were thoroughly entertained. You were not disgusted. And that's what happened Sunday night. And I want to mention three examples of the debacle that was the Grammy Awards Sunday on CBS and why CBS and the Recording Academy and everyone involved in making this program cannot wait to fix things up. The first was having the comedian and animation star of the popular FX Netflix series Space Epics for Family, Bill Barr, be in position to give out the Latin Music Awards. Who approved this? You mean to tell an audience of Latin music fans there was not one Latin music performer or a Latin entertainment personality that would be on stage to give out these awards? Even Bill Barr had the, you know, audacity to say on camera, hey, I shouldn't be here. I don't belong doing this. I can't pronounce it. You know, why am I here doing this? Unbelievable. Just absolutely amazing. And as embarrassing as that wasn't the big problem. The bigger problem was at least with two of the musical performances. One was Cardi B and Megan Tree Whoever doing WAP. That's the music video that is heavily censored, that it has unspeakable stuff in it that I can't even get into. If you saw this live musical sequence on, it would have been very hard for you not to be horrified. And I'm not going to take time to really get into it. But suffice it to say, what they did on live television, and especially the choreography and the staging of this, was a travesty. Absolute travesty. If you're a Cardi B fan, you had to be mortified by what was done. And to top it all off, there was the bigger picture, the song by Little Baby, dealing with racial justice. And if you saw that sequence, it was probably the most controversial sequence of the night because of the way it started, where it was depicted as two African Americans getting shot by two Caucasian police officers. And then a Black Lives Matter advocate from the organization, not the movement, got to be very clear about this, basically telling our president of the United States, you know, deal with this or be an accomplice to racism. I'm not making this up, folks. This happened live on a Grammy Awards program. And what I was left with is two things. One, Ken Ehrlich, who had left the show after so many decades of doing it, had he done last night's program, neither musical sequence would have been approved. It would never have gone on the air. None. He would never have approved it. Secondly, who did? Who oversighted these two numbers? Did anybody raise a red flag on CBS's part, on the Recording Academy's part, on the executive producer's part? You have to wonder, what were people thinking? What were people thinking? And it reminded me of why, in recent years, the Emmys and the Oscars have also gone down in ratings in a big way. Because of episodes like this, inside baseball jokes that make no sense to the general audience, and basically doing jokes and routines that have nothing to do with why the audience tunes into a program like this in the first place, which is to be brought up to speed about the state of film, the state of television, what it's like, why should I watch, why should I care? Sad to say, the Grammy Awards made that mistake, that big mistake, last Sunday night. And they paid dearly for it. I understand, by the way, that CBS and the WAP number had a heavily censored the number. So a lot of bleeps. It really was mortifying. And God forbid if you had tuned into that set accidentally and you saw that going in, what would you have thought? By the way, if anybody from the Recording Academy or CBS or the producer of the show would like to come on this program and tell us why they did what they did, I'm all ears. We would love to have them on. And we want to have a really solid dialogue on this. Really, really do. The bottom line is that this has got to be a one-shot. I promise you that if this happens again, the Grammy Awards are done for on network television. They're done for in broadcast. because the American public will not take this kind of garbage. They want to be entertained. They want to be engaged. When they see a show like the Grammys, they want to enjoy musical performances that they can be proud of. It's okay, by the way, to be controversial, but be sensitive about it. It can be done. It has been done by the Grammys in the past. And if numbers like this are being proposed, you have to raise a red flag. And you got to tell the artist, hey, no. Do something else. Do a number that gets your message across, but not in the kind of way you want it, not in the kind of way that will upset people, especially in this time, in this country. In this case, the bigger picture was a terrible picture and really not necessary. I'm really pulling for the Grammy Awards to come back next year and come back proud. I really am. I've been a fan of the Grammys for years. As I said, I think it's one of the most, along with the Tony Awards, one of the most entertaining award specials on television. And it would be a crime if this particular edition screwed up this award for life. I really hope that some people put their foot down. CBS, Recording Academy, executive producers, talent. It's time to have a dialogue about what is suitable and what isn't, and go from there. It would be a shame, a real shame, if this program was off the air for good. And it doesn't need to be. We need to see some common sense in what numbers go on, in who presents the awards, and to be much more sensitive to the American public. The Grammys work on television because the audience loves what they see, and they appreciate the performances. Let's not screw it up. So Grammys, you got a year to clean up your act. Do it. And I think you'll be rewarded with a bigger audience next year. Those are our takeaways of the week. Yours truly with the commentary, personal view. I'd love to hear what you think. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Love to hear what you think. And again, in the case of the Grammy Awards, the executive producers want to come on the program and explain their side of things and engage in a great dialogue about this. I'm all ears. We'd love to have them. So invitation open and with an open ear too. Okay? Okay. Again, I want to thank our guest, executive producer Tom Beers, for being with us. Kings of Kasha's new show, Tuesdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Vice TV. Three episodes tomorrow be televised coming your way, Monday, Wednesday, Friday next week. Don't forget, coming up on Monday and Friday, regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. On Wednesday, special time, earlier, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Coming your way on Monday, we will have from the ABC News Magazine, Soul of a Nation, senior producer Catherine McKenzie, and from the YAC Network that will be starting next month on YouTube through smart TV sets and smart devices, Chief Executive Officer Marcy Rubin. Next Friday, among our guests from Genvit Technologies, back on the show since last fall, Jacob Nabok. His company made Rival Peak, which ran, we understand, successfully and gained audience every time on Facebook Watch and on Portal TV, Facebook Smart TV device. If you came in late on today's program and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget, all weekend long, check us out. Give us our March Madness, if you will. Anytime on podcast. We're available on iTunes, Apple TV, Verbal, Amazon Music, the iRadio Podcast Network, Speaker Podcast, TuneIn.com. And if there is a podcast site like Spotify, Westwood One, other places that currently our show is not running and you'd like to see it run, please drop them a line. Let them know nicely that you'd like to hear the show there and have them get in touch with me, and we'll make something happen. Again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Let me know, and we'll make in touch with the fine folks at other podcast sites and welcome them nicely into our family of affiliates. Remember, we love hearing from you. You really make the show fly because we want to be interactive with you and you interactive with us. So, again, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. New question and prize in play next Monday. Also, We have a feature called Show to Know. Is there a TV show you like that deserves more attention it's getting right now? Well, we'd like to give it that attention, and if you let us know what it is, we'll do it, and we'll give you the credit for it. So again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Let us know what show you want us to know and let our listeners know about more, and we'll give you the credit for using it as part of that ongoing segment. Remember, find us on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. I do respond to your emails in 24 hours, and we do so for one simple thing, because our show exists because of you, and what you say matters now more than ever. Really, it does. So make your emails and your social media thoughts happen. Sooner you do, sooner we respond. The views expressed here are those of the participants, I say those of Block Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Block Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow we televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For one or two free audiobooks, 1 month trial and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. And before we go, I want to give a shout out to the hundreds of people around the world who are taking the brand new Landmark Forum online starting today. And to all the staff and management and the Landmark Forum leaders, congratulations on making it happen. Thousands of people around the world will be taking the Landmark Forum this weekend, and it's going to be a very exciting time. So thank you to all the Landmark graduates, all the Landmark Forum participants, all the Landmark Forum leaders, and the staff and management people who assist at Landmark Worldwide for the worldwide thing you are doing on behalf of our world this weekend and beyond. But tomorrow we televise. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic March Madness weekend. Don't forget, March Madness continuing today and tonight on CBS, Turner Broadcasting, CBS, TNT, and True TV. And Sunday, the women's tournament gets underway on ESPN, ESPN2, ESPNU, and ABC. Whatever you're up to now and then, please enjoy the games. And also, take care of yourselves. Be safe, be great, because we are going to lift this pandemic. More and more, it's very clear, we will, now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.